This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A lady who was looking into Islam said, "What can Islam give me? I have a beautiful family. I'm wealthy. I have great children. I am happy. I have a great job. I have a great life. What is it that Islam can give me?" If someone wants some spiritual peace, they probably could say, "I can do some meditation." And there are many other avenues to find some sort of spirituality. What can Islam give me, someone, an individual, a lady, who's saying that she has it all? There's something so profound that Islam can give her that it doesn't exist anywhere else. It is so valuable that it has eternal implications. And it comes in two parts. The first, Islam defines that this world is a test to excel in good. The second part, which is probably more important than the first part, is that Islam tells us how to pass this test. Islam gives us the answers to this test. The commands and prohibitions of Allah are the answers. These are the minimum performance requirements to pass this test. No one has this. No book, no philosophy, no religion, no science. Nothing can give this valuable information that can change our life. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا." And for each nation, each community, Allah subhanahu has given a shir'ah, a code of law, and a minhaj, a way of life. And the word shir'ah means sharia. And the word sharia means a body of water that comes from a river or a valley. And it's likened to a body of water. The commands and prohibitions in Islam are likened to a body of water, because just as human beings, we cannot live without water, that in the hereafter, we cannot survive if we don't implement these commandments and prohibitions in this life. And so these commands and prohibitions, the test that we live in, this concept solves so many philosophical issues. For centuries, scholars and philosophers have been debating and discussing issues. And the answer is very simple. If we look at those issues through the lens of this concept, that we're in this life living a test to excel, with those answers being the commands and prohibitions, all those centuries worth of debate is a result. And as Muslim communities, we don't talk about this concept enough. And if we have this concept that we are living in this test, we're here for this test, front and center. If we have that front and center, our lives would change. Our focus would change. Our 5-year plan would change. Our marriages would get better. There will be a massive paradigm shift in our mindset. And so today, I'm going to give a couple of examples about this, that if we take this concept and apply it to some of these philosophical issues, we'll see how it solves the problems. And also, if there's time, I'll give some contemporary issues that our society is struggling with, and if we look at it through this concept, it solves it immediately. The first philosophical issue that's been debated is the problem of evil. That why is there evil in this world? And if God is so good, why does He allow evil to exist? And scholars and philosophers have been debating and discussing. And atheists use this as a reason to deny that God exists, because evil exists. But if we look at the alternative, that if there's no evil in this world, If there's just all positives, imagine this life with nothing but pleasure and enjoyment and happiness. How could that be a test? It's only a test when you're tested. And for you to be tested, you will have to face bad experiences. You will have to face evil temptations. And when you face evil temptations, you are tested. Your values are tested. Your integrity is tested. That will you break your values or will you stick to your values? So there cannot be a test if there's no bad choices. It's like walking to an examination hall and saying, look, I want to have an exam, but all the multiple choices that I have must all be correct. They all must be right. That's not a test. For it to be a test, the person must have the freedom to choose the right answer and the wrong answer. And the wrong answer, if one has the option to choose, that means there will be evil on this earth. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in that very same verse, لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شَرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. That if Allah willed, He would have made you into one community, one religion. Everyone is good. But He didn't. Because that's the nature of a test. They will be good. They will be bad. Number two. Evil exists. Bad exists. Because every test must be scored. Scoring in degrees. It's not just a pass or fail test. Because that's not fair. Because not everyone strives. Someone who gets a passing grade like a 71 versus someone who gets a 99. We have to accommodate those who strive harder. So there must be a scoring mechanism that recognizes the various degrees that people strive. And this scoring mechanism requires that bad experiences exist. Because when you go through these unwanted experiences that you don't like, you realize what you want. You realize what you like. It is when you go through pain that you realize you want comfort. It is when you go through sorrow and grief that you realize the value of happiness. And so once we realize what we want by going through these unwanted negative experiences, this is where growth happens. So if I am hurt by ignorance, I didn't know something and I got the short end of the stick, I realize that ignorance is harmful for me, and that's an unwanted experience. That makes me realize I should seek knowledge because knowledge can protect me. So I seek knowledge. Now there growth is happening. And how much I strive to seek knowledge will vary from individual to individual. These are the degrees. Am I going to get a 71 in seeking knowledge? Am I going to get a 99? Am I going to learn the Quranic Arabic just to understand a few short chapters of the Quran? Or am I going to learn the Quranic Arabic so I can understand and read the Quran cover to cover because I want to know what my Lord is saying? And so when this growth happens, we have these various degrees of people striving in this growth, and thus the rewards are there. And this is why Allah subhanahu in the very same verse said, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Then go ahead and compete in goodness. This is where the scores can get higher and higher. So the problem of evil existing, why are there bad experiences? If we look at it through the lens of this world being a test, it answers all those questions. The second philosophical question that has been debated over centuries exists in Christendom and also popped up in the first century of Islam by a group called the Murji'ah, where within Christendom there's also a debate saying, is just faith enough, or do we need to have actions and deeds? Should there be commandments and prohibitions? Some say that faith is enough. All you need to do is believe and you're going straight to paradise. Others say, no, it's faith and works. It's faith and actions, faith and deeds. The Murji'ah take out actions from the definition of iman, where Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah include actions part of iman. So this is this debate. But it can be solved that if we see that this world is a test, then it's not enough for me to walk into an examination hall and say, look, I acknowledge that this is an exam. And I believe this is an exam. And based on that, based on my belief, give me 100. No one's going to score or give that score to this person. But I have to perform on that exam. I have to choose and make correct decisions and circle the right answer. And so if we see that this world is a test, then it's clear that it cannot just be faith or, oh, brother, niyyah, my heart, and that's enough, intention in my heart. My heart is clean. No, it has to be the statements of the tongue. It has to also be actions of the limbs. So just by looking at this concept, it solves these two philosophical issues. Let's take a look at some of contemporary issues and how this understanding that this world is a test to excel, for us to see who will excel in good. Today, we have some people saying, we're never going to have children. Why should we have children? Some women saying, I'm not going to have children because it's going to change how my body looks. Some men saying, I'm not going to have children because it's going to increase expenses that I have to pay for. Parents saying, we're not going to have children because it's going to reduce our quality time. It's going to take away from our goals, from our life. Why should we have children? These are some arguments of some people. Now, there are many reasons why we should have children. But one of them is that if we look at it through the lens of this concept that we're in this world in a test, and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Islam has told us that the parent, every good deed that the child does, the parent gets that written on their scale. Ad-dalu 'ala al-khayri kafa'ili. The one who shows someone something good, and if they do it, the person who showed it to them gets the reward. So the parents who teach their children good manners, teach them about Islam, teach them how to pray, teach them good etiquettes, when they're dead, every time they're living and they're practicing and they're making tahajjud and they're fasting Ramadan after Ramadan, they're praying taraweeh because you guided them to that. You get that as your points. Talk about scoring. Those become your points on your scale on the Day of Judgment. So it becomes a no-brainer to have children. This is just one reason. Second contemporary issue is the role of genders. We have gender wars in some societies. Toxic masculinity, toxic feminism, extremism from both sides. Women saying, they hate men. Men saying they hate women, this disdain to this degree. But if we look at this concept that we're in this world to pass this test, everything changes. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if a person gets married, he completes half of his religion. Then let him be mindful of Allah and the other half. In other words, this test in this life, we're sent here to fulfill this test not alone. If you're sent on a mission, would you rather do that mission by yourself, or would you rather do it with a partner? Especially if that partner has superpowers that you don't have. Would there be greater chances of passing this test as a team in a mission or going solo? The chances are greater if we're a team. So Islam sees us as a team. Yes, we have different roles. The woman has superpowers that the man does not have. And the man has superpowers that the woman doesn't have. And this does not mean that one cannot do the other role or do certain things from the other role. But what this means is that when we're in a mission, I'm going to leverage your superpower and you're going to leverage my superpower because our goal is to get through this temporary, time-limited mission to get to the other side. And so we're going to work as a team. And once we pass this mission, we get the prize, which is لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. That we get paradise where we can do whatever we want. Then you can take my role all you want, because in paradise you can do it all day, all night. I can take your role all day, all night. But here, when the time is clicking, let us come together and use our superpowers together to pass this test. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي. being in this mission to pass this test, that should be front and center in our lives as individuals, as communities, as families. Every decision we make, that should be first. That should be a lens by which we make our decisions and plan our future. And arguing over our roles in this test, which Allah has defined for us, is a waste of time. Imagine people in a mission, and they start arguing, they will compromise the mission. The focus has to be on how to complete the mission. And this is what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam directed us when he said, "Kun fi dunya ka annaka gharibun wa 'abir sabilin." He said, "Be in this world, this test that we have, as though you're a stranger or a traveler." A stranger or a traveler doesn't have attachment problems with this world. The person understands that it's a limited time and it's temporary, that I have to get through this mission. But this doesn't mean that some people take to the other extreme, hey, you know, we're only in this world for a temporary time being, so I'd rather be poor. There's no point getting education. That is not what this hadith means. Because to pass the test, as we mentioned before, we have to strive and excel in good. And being wealthy is an act of worship. Seeking education is an act of worship. So all of that must be strived for. And Abdullah ibn Amr al-As said, mentioned this balance, اعمل لدنياك كأنك تعيش أبدا وعمل لآخرتك كأنك تموت غدا. This is the balance. He said, work for your dunya, for this world, as if you're going to live forever. Strive, make your 5-year plan, 10-year plan, 20-year plan. Plan to live to be 105 years old. Get your health in shape to sustain you so you can be 105. Plan as if you're going to live forever in this world. But then he said, live for your hereafter as if you're going to die tomorrow. Don't delay that Hajj. Don't delay memorizing the Quran. Don't delay learning the Quran Arabic. Don't delay that Duha prayer. Don't delay the Sunnah of the 5 prayers, the Rawatib, the consistent Sunnah the Prophet did. Increase your good deeds as if you're going to die tomorrow. And with this balance, we're able to keep a healthy velocity to pass this test and pass this mission. To the point the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized this and said, if you're about to plant a shoot or a plant and you see the hour about to be established, go ahead and continue to plant it. So for our world, our worldly affairs, we live as if we're going to live forever. Even if we see the world's going to end, we still continue doing and striving for good. ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك الرؤوف الرحيم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب